This is the Copper Crab Podcast.
I am Cheney Crab.
I am Naveen Copperwise.
If you would like to buy merch from our band, Entheos, like some of the merch that we have on right now, then go to www.entheosstore.com. We do have a merch sale running right now. And just for you guys, this is special for those of you who listen to the podcast. We're giving you 20% off if you use the code GoldenLobster24 at checkout. So go and check that out. We just announced a tour. It's this summer, July and August, with As I Lay Dying and Chelsea Grin across the United States. You can check out the dates in the description. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to have our probably sickest production yet. Looking forward to that very much. If you would like podcast merch, go to coppercrab.bigcartel.com. If you have not yet joined us on Twitch for the podcast, we now shoot on Mondays at 7:30 Central Standard Time. That's every Monday. And then we've added the new Copper Crab Happy Hour.
That's right.
Every Thursday.
And it's a really good time.
It's one of the best times.
It's a level five hype train.
I would say if you're a fan of the more unhinged podcasts that we've done, like the one that specifically comes to mind is when we announced that we signed a Metal Blade.
Mm-hmm.
And we were
it says drunken episode.
And I believe that like I had braids in my hair and the screen grab is like my braids flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it was a belligerent episode.
There's a couple episodes like that. There's one from Santa Cruz that is a drunken episode and I'm wearing shades. That's also a really good episode.
I think it's because we went to that restaurant Chocolate.
Yeah. And they have really strong chocolate martinis.
Oh my God.
Which are chocolatini. Let's go.
Oh man.
Fucking bomb.
Absolutely unhinged drinks. But if you enjoy the more unhinged episodes of the podcast, then you will really enjoy the Twitch on Thursday night's Copper Crab Happy Hour.
So it was 3 hours long and we did pre-2005 death metal.
We did.
And that's some of my favorite music of all time. So we were having a really good time. We were drinking White Claws. It was we intended for it to be a happy hour to go for 1 hour.
Yeah.
But the hour went by like it was done and it felt like 5 minutes.
It really did.
And I'm like, we're not going anywhere. Are you kidding me? And it wound up being 3 hours long. And then Chaney did a cover at the end.
I did.
Impromptu fucking vocal cover.
See, I was actually five White Claws deep because I counted the next day when I had a headache.
Yeah.
And so when I'm five White Claws deep, might 3 hours into a Twitch, I might do a Cannibal Corpse cover. This week I might do a Linkin Park cover because this week is new metal.
That's right. We had everybody vote for what they wanted the next genre to be the next week. And it was between slam or new metal. Mm-hmm. And I think new metal won landslide.
It was a total landslide. And I was convinced that slam was going to win.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to hear new metal. So we're going to be over there.
It's going to be a really good time. Come by and hang out if you can. 7:30 Central Thursdays. I think we're going to make that a new... I mean, we have to.
It's a new
thing. After how fun it was, I was like, dude, we got off of that and we were all just hyped.
We're going to be doing different things on Thursdays than we do for the podcast. If you subscribe to our Twitch channel, we're going to be doing a merch giveaway once a month and a bunch of cool things. We're trying to think of cool incentives to bring along with Copper Crab Happy Hour. So come and hang out. Naveen, I can tell you're over there reading the Twitch this whole time.
They're being funny.
What are they saying?
They're saying that I progressively just kept roasting the G-Lobs music more and more as the night went on.
I know. There's been a new Copper Crab bingo made in the Discord, and I was cracking up at it. I didn't quite see all of it. Like, I haven't had time to sit down with it, but one of them is Naveen roasts the G-Lobs music taste.
Actually, last week there was some really good requests being put in there, but they were all from Jake.
There were some good requests. I think you guys really surprised us. We weren't sure how it would go, but I do think that when there's like a bit of a limitation on what we can choose, it's cooler to do.
Yeah.
Because then it's not like,
yeah,
You know, it's similar to when you're working on something. Because we've noticed this when we're working on, like, making art or music videos or whatever for our band, that it when you you have to, like, completely explain exactly what you want in order for things to come out how you want. So when we tell people what they can listen to, we kind of reap the benefits of them only being able to choose good music.
If you can only choose pre 2005 death metal,
then I'm going to like it all.
Yeah, so how bad could it get?
Yeah, exactly. How bad could it possibly get? So, new metal, I mean, it could potentially get bad.
Right.
But I'm here, I mean, I'm here
but
for the
we're
ride.
Expecting new metal, right?
Exactly.
So, we're not going to, if we're just taking requests, any music that you could possibly think of, like we usually do in the post show, and someone did a new metal song, you know, I'm going to be like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Why is he saying new metal right now?
Yeah.
You know? But if it's a new metal night, then yeah, we're listening to new metal.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good time.
I sort of tested this out on TikTok. Like, I went live on TikTok and asked the people in the chat to suggest, like, I think we might have been doing new metal or like old school something. And they all had really good requests, and it was really fun listening to the music with them. So,
okay, well,
bringing it over to Twitch. But yeah, so we are going on tour this summer. We are bringing a new lineup with us.
Oh, right.
So,
right. Talking point.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've had an episode that was just the two of us. So, you know, we've had a lot of interviews lately. If you guys have missed those, then go back and watch them. We had I Am here. We had Sanjay from Inferi, Wormhole, Grey Lotus, Equipoise here. Scott Carstairs from Fallujah. We had our friend Thomas Leon, who's a comedian here. Is there anyone I'm forgetting? Oh, Nick. Nick was on from John Free Cowboy. It's been a lot of really good episodes lately.
What is that? So. 5 episodes in a row?
Yeah, maybe something like that. And then there was a week that we were sick, so we took it off.
Right.
But yeah, go and check those out. This is the first week we've had to kind of talk about what's going on in our lives and with the band lately. So this summer, we're bringing two new guitar players with us on the road. One is Andrew Virueta, who is playing live with Ingested. He's played with The Faceless. He's in Interloper. He's got a solo project called Vampire Squid, and then Moon Twin, another solo project. I might be forgetting things that Andrew's involved in, but he's an insane guitar player.
Absolute powerhouse.
A total powerhouse. He's a great vocalist as well.
Yeah.
And then we're also bringing Michael Stansel with us, who is the guitar player of a Legion. He's also in a band called Harbored and also an insane guitarist and a great vocalist. So it's going to be really cool playing with those guys. It'll be the first time that I have backing vocalists on stage, because what we've done,
get the backups going.
Yeah. Have backups. So like for songs like I Am the Void last year, when we started playing it, we've had to have some vocal tracks on like backing tracks, nothing that I'm doing live, but just, you know, in like a chorus to beef up a part, really. So it's going to be cool having someone actually doing those parts.
It's going to be way sick.
Two people doing those parts. I've really dreamt of that being the case since we started the band. Yeah. So it's nice to finally be able to do that.
I think in general, we want to move away from stuff not being live.
Yeah.
Even the lights. Yes. We're trying to get away. We're trying to have it be some dude just doing the lights.
100%. That's really our overall goal. So it's cool to be able to, you know, move a little further in that direction.
Less MacBook.
Yeah, less MacBook, more.
Not that we even really.
Less MacBook, more Pro.
There you go. I think we only put the one backing scream.
Yeah,
in I Am the Void. That's literally it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's just, Chaney just does all the rest by herself. But it would be better if we had actual backups going on.
100%. It's been a goal. So to have two people who are vocalists, who have experience in doing vocals live, is awesome. And I think it's going to, you know, bring that much more of a cool extra element to our band.
Yeah.
And with Rob and Brian, we loved playing with them. It was a great almost 2 years that we had with them, and I wish them the absolute best in their future endeavors.
Yeah, and it was no bad blood or anything like that.
No, not at all.
they just kind of went on to, Brian's going back to school, and Rob had a different opportunity he wanted to take.
Yep.
Which I probably shouldn't divulge here on the podcast. Yeah. But both really great guys.
Absolutely. And
good friends. And it was, you know,
really brought a lot to our band live.
Like, totally.
Great players. There was, they brought a lot of energy to our band live. And it was, I mean, nothing but good things to say about them.
And also, I mean, they came in when we hadn't toured since the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we really didn't know what the band was going to be like at all. We didn't know if anybody was going to know who we were or like the band. We had no idea what it was like. We had no way of knowing how the tours were going to go. And I think they got to tour with us in what has been the best time of the band's career so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, by a lot. So I think it was fun that they got to be there for that.
Totally. Yeah. So yeah, we're excited for everything coming up. We are, I'm just going to say this because it's the podcast. I'm not going to say this anywhere else, but we're less than a month from the first song that we're putting out this year being out. So a lot of exciting things are going on for us behind the scenes right now. You know, right before you put something out, that's when you're doing promo shoots, music video shoots.
Yeah, yeah.
We just had a meeting this morning about more music videos that we're doing.
We actually have a question relevant to this.
Yeah, you want to ask it?
Well, I think Harrison should.
Okay.
It's the first one.
Yeah, Cursed Unholy. Oh, wait. The one in the chat?
No, Argos. It's on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Argos asks, does the label 100% dictate when an album rolls out? Obviously, they pick the release date, but do they choose the teaser date, single drop dates, playthrough video dates, etc.? Do they run the show afterwards? Like when you drop a drum playthrough from Meinl 2 weeks after the album drops to try and maintain interest, stuff like that?
Well, I think that it's different in everyone's case. In our case, the label actually has very little to do with any of that. In our case, it's kind of... we will have a meeting with our manager about all of those things. So the label does have input. So let me kind of go back on that a little bit. The label does have input, but when we turn something in, that's kind of when the ball gets rolling. Because you can tell the label that you're turning a master in at a certain time, and then it doesn't get turned in for 3 months, and then it would throw off the entire schedule. So really it's, when you turn something in, that's when you can really get the ball rolling, even though you will have deadlines before that and ideas of when you're going to put all of that stuff out. So for us, I'm the only band that I can speak for. We're the only band that I can speak for. For us, we'll turn something in. Our management will say, okay, we want to put something out right here. And usually it has to do with, you know, when we put something out, will have to do with when we want to go on tour, because putting something out gives you something to promote, to be on tour, to promote, helps you land tours, because people tend to want to take bands on tour who have a release that they're promoting. Yeah.
Like if you have an album out, it's been out for 2 years, it's going to be harder for you to get pitched on a tour because you don't have a label behind you that is trying to get your name actively out there at that time.
Right.
So we try to do it where we do tours around releases. And now that's why it's helpful to have more releases coming up.
Yeah. So to go back to the question, our management will kind of, we'll speak with our label and they'll decide when it makes sense for the label and for us to release something. And then you kind of work backwards from choosing the release date. So from the release date, you say, okay, well, we want a single to come out at this time to start the rollout, they'll call it. So say the release date is, and it also depends on what kind of release you're doing. There's this thing now called the waterfall program that you can do where you put out, I think they hold you to putting out like half of the release as singles before the release comes out.
So it's like a much longer rollout than we're going to put out two singles and then the album comes out. So for our last album, we put out five singles, I think it was. Or our four singles and then one the day the album came out.
It was
something like that.
Three singles and one and the focus track the day the album came out. So we put out Absolute Zero in Purgatory, I Am the Void, and then Darkest Day came out as the focus. No, then Darkest Day came out, and then
the focus track was
Sinking Sun.
Yeah. So it gives you a much longer period of time where you're sort of promoting new material, and that just makes more sense these days the way that things have gone on the internet and everything. And then in the past, on, let's say, like on Dark Future, there was an idea. Okay, Dark Future's coming out, and here's the music videos. Here's where the playthroughs should come out. But I think at this point, Chaney and I already just do that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not something that needs to really be said. We're obviously going to start doing playthroughs and putting clips and all that stuff. The music videos are something that's in a lot of planning, and that is pretty much just between us and our management, though, in terms of when they come out.
Yeah.
So the label doesn't really do that for us, but that's because we have a management that is very close with Metal Blade.
Yeah,
so
that is true.
If it was not that case, then the label probably would put together some sort of strategy that they wanted.
Yeah, and there are friends of mine who, I actually asked someone today because I saw this question earlier, and the label does have a lot to do with, you know, planning the exact dates and whatever. I think it just really depends on who you are, who you work with, the way that everyone does things differently. There's everyone has a different method. So for us, we work very closely with our management to figure those things out. And even for Time Will Take Us All, we did have like a planned out schedule of when we would put playthroughs out and stuff like that. But it's kind of a loose timeline.
Yeah. And it's not down to the minimal playthrough and stuff like that. I mean, that's just me hitting them up and saying, hey, let's do some playthroughs. You know,
yeah,
that
exactly.
type of a thing. So, I mean, I think if you're really if your mindset is, let's get this thing out there, that's the best mindset to have.
Yeah.
Like, kill mode.
Right.
Violence is the answer.
So for us, it's like we have stuff planned. It's kind of endless.
Yeah.
The things that we have planned. So we do, like Naveen said, it's like for us to do playthroughs or on any instrument, it's just stuff that we already do.
Yeah.
So there's not really there isn't a need to plan.
Yeah, like if they said, hey, you guys should drop some playthroughs for your new album, we'd be like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
You know, of course we're going to do that.
Something that we do. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the main takeaway is that you and whoever else you're working with should just always be thinking of how you're going to get the band bigger.
Yeah.
I mean,
or what you're doing next.
That's it. Yeah.
So what we're thinking, like, we're way past planning for 2024. We've planned for 2024. Right now we're talking about what we're doing in 25. So we have all of our releases ready for this year. Now we're talking about, okay, when are we going into the studio for the things that we're putting out in 2025?
Yeah.
So kind of, if you're asking, like, what should you do, just get yourself to a point where you can always be thinking ahead. So yeah. That's kind of the name of our game now, but it did take us a while to get to
Definitely.
This point.
Definitely.
To get a good workflow going. Yeah. It's a matter of doing things over and over and over again. And I have found, Naveen and I were just talking about this today, because like I said, we're working on music videos right now. There are so many details of planning for music videos that I think it's almost important to do these things every year, because then you become like, you oil the machine more and more and more over time. And the more that you're working on all of this stuff, the easier and more streamlined your process becomes. So if you shoot two music videos right now, and then the next music videos that you shoot are in 2030, there's going to be like a lapse in your memory of how to do things, of what to be specific about how to plan, what, how much involvement you have to have in the process. It's just, I think that all of these things become easier, just like touring, just like writing albums and working together. They become easier the more that you do them.
Yeah.
So.
It's, you got to flex that muscle.
Yeah.
And it's the same with all the stuff in the band. It should just be something that, I mean, this is, I'm speaking to us. I'm speaking to ourselves. It's something that we're always trying to refine and get better at.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we're not the biggest band. You know, we're like you guys. We're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get the band bigger? What can we do to get the music in front of more ears so that we can make a living off this band?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing that you should be thinking about. And the label should be right there with you. And I think when everyone is on the same page, you don't need little checklists and stuff. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's just all systems go. Let's go.
Well, yeah, but I do still think that having a checklist is good. Like, yeah, we do see, we have a list we're going down right now where we see when our singles are being put
out.
Of course. And then it's like, if you have a rough outline, that's kind of what...
I just mean, like, the label doesn't need to tell us what to do. It's more like we're all coming up with the plan together.
Totally. Because a label can only tell you what to do with the stuff that you have finished. So you really need to put a plan in place to get that stuff done and ready and prepared as far as you can for the label to do the next thing with it. Like, once you sign to a label, it's not like all the work is not done. It honestly makes their infinitely more work for you to do.
It's just, the idea is for them to take some of that work off your hands so you can stay focused in another category.
Yeah, totally.
And write like, okay, now I don't have to worry about putting my song on CD Baby or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can spend my time writing, or I can spend my time making videos or doing what my specialty is. And I think as the band goes on more and more, that's sort of a goal for me and Chaney, for us to do less of the administrative stuff and more of the creative stuff as we can.
Yeah. With that being said, you kind of always, you know, it's always in your peripheral. We are always paying attention to, even if we're not fully involved in something, it's like we're always paying attention to Definitely. What's going on, because
there's no autopilot.
I can't stress this enough. No one is ever going to care about you and your thing and getting your stuff out there as much as you care about it. Not that all of the people who work with you don't care about it, but our management manages, like, you know, I don't know, 8 or 10 other bands. Right. So our band is only taking up a certain amount of their bandwidth. They have other things to deal with.
Bandwidth.
There we go. All that we have to think about or deal with or talk about all day is our own band. So we're constantly working on it. And, but yeah, you know, making a little checklist when the songs come out, to me, and if it works better for you to make a plan, the song comes out right here, that I'm doing a playthrough here, then by all means do that. But like Naveen is saying, it is something that over time you get more and more on autopilot, and you're just kind of doing your thing.
Because, I mean, if the labels, if you sign to a label and they say, hey, we were thinking of this rollout for, but then you come back and you're like, yeah, we already got a schedule.
Yeah.
And we were actually going to do twice that much.
Right.
They're going to be like, holy shit, these guys are sick.
Well, I mean, for Time Will Take Us All, we did the waterfall program that I'm referring to, and we only did it because I brought it up to our management.
Yeah.
So you do have to stay.
Got to be your own advocate.
You have to be your own advocate. You have to also keep your ear to the ground. What's going on? How are people getting their music out? What's a good way to do it? And also, do not think that there are rules to this. Don't think that there's some like guideline of how to put a release out and that's what you have to adhere to. The industry is constantly moving. It's changing. There are people innovating it constantly. So do what you think is the best. Do some research and go from there. But do stay aware of what other people are doing.
Yeah, I think
and think about how you can improve on that in your own way.
Agreed.
So I hope we answered your question.
All right.
All right, let's go with another question. Yeah.
Yeah. Next up is from Ethan. Entheos has influence across various metal subgenres. How would you guys actually describe your own music, and how do you see it evolving going forward?
Naveen.
Well, ahead. I think it's only been recent that. Well, it's not that it's only been recent that we've. I think over time we're constantly trying to dial it in. When we first started, we kind of just did whatever felt comfortable. So that was, we'll just make some kind of technical, original sounding, whatever comes out, let's do it. And then I think that's sort of been the MO. And then when we got to Time Will Take Us All, it was more of a vision.
I would say even Remember You Were Dust, the single we put out in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Well, those were written simultaneously.
Yeah, totally.
So it was more of, let's take a step back and try to like figure out what we actually want our band to sound like rather than just see how it turns out. And there's nothing, I'm not knocking just experimenting and seeing how it turns out, but we wanted to see how it would sound if we went for a certain sound. So I would describe that as progressive death metal.
Same.
So I think that was what we were thinking. And I think before we go into a release, we sort of get a vibe. Okay, we want it to be technical and death metal, but then also have some cool progressive parts. And then along the way, other stuff sort of happened, right? So we came up with I Am the Void, which is like not a death metal song at all. So that stuff, that experimental stuff will happen as we go. But overall, I would say we're a progressive progressive death metal band.
I would too. I would even say progressive metal.
Yeah. But that, I think progressive metal sort of is like djent at this point. Like periphery
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, right? I see what you mean. But I don't know. We're getting down to like, you know, just...
splitting hairs.
Yes, we're splitting hairs, definitely. But not every aspect of the metal that we play is death, and that's why I see it as more of a like all encapsulating term to just say metal.
Yeah, and I think as time goes on, we sort of just want it to be its own thing, but at the same time, just appeal to more, just like a metal audience.
Yeah.
Someone who likes metal would get something out of our band.
But I also, and with that as well, I think that over time, like the sound that we're forming is a sound that has over time grown to suit my personal tastes and my voice more and more. Because I wouldn't necessarily go back to Primal or The Infinite Nothing and find any parts to sing over,
right?
Or even Dark
Future.
It just didn't exist. Dark Future a little more, but it just didn't exist. So I think over time, like that sound that we're going for, it is very much Naveen's sound instrumentally, but it also is how I sound vocally. Like I don't think that without me on vocals, you would really maybe put a rock song, you know, a metal metallic rock song
on a
record.
Right. Yeah, like when we thought of that song, it was Chaney could do something cool over this. That was kind of the idea.
Yeah. So it's like over time we've grown because the way that our band started with Evan and Naveen and Frank all writing instrumentals and then Travis writing instrumentals as well, it was kind of like three guys who, especially with you and Travis and Evan, three guys who came from like you had just been playing in instrumental metal type projects. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Evan had come from doing his solo stuff. So I think that it was a lot more like instrumentally busy. And over time, we've really develop the sound to have vocals be a focal point rather than an afterthought.
Yeah.
Which...
That's been the biggest change in the band.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I think that's definitely been the biggest change in the band. Yeah. And it's both of us together. It's not just you. Because I think that if it was just you writing instrumentals, you might be doing something like way more brutal a lot of the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like sometimes I'm just thinking, I want to write something with a vibe that Chaney can do some cool vocals on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of that now. Whereas previously, I would just write what sounds cool.
Yeah. And that's the thing about a band. It's like when different people get together, they bring out different aspects of each
other. Yeah, it's a good thing.
And what we bring out in each other is much different than what, you know, me and someone else might make together, you and someone else might make together. So Entheos, at the end of the day, is a culmination of Naveen and Chaney writing stuff together. And what that band sounds like. To me, that's the beautiful part of a band. It's the beautiful part of staying together for so long as a band.
Yeah.
You get to see artists learn to work, to learn for their musical worlds to coalesce in a beautiful way and make like a band and a project together rather than a solo project by one of the people with the other people on it.
Hell yeah.
So that really is what our band has become over time. More and more, you guys will see as we release these new songs, it's like we're thinking of how do we work well together? What do we make that's good together?
Yeah, yeah.
Compliment and that's the emphasis. Yeah, how can we complement each other and do what something that both of us are happy doing? Because I personally, like the metal band that I'm in is Entheos. I'm not joining another metal band. This is where I do my metal. So I want it to... kind of touch on every aspect of metal that I love.
Yeah.
And I think that we're growing more and more into that band over time. Not to say that I'm proud of everything we've ever released.
Of course.
But it's always exciting to see what comes next.
Extreme prog. That's a comment from the Twitch.
Extreme prog. Kind of, yeah. Some of our songs, yeah. Sure. But at the end of the day, you know, we've said this before. I'm okay with whatever people want to call us.
Yeah.
I just want to be a band that people listen to. That's
It's definitely harder when you don't fit right into a genre right away in the beginning. That's been, I wouldn't say that's been holding us back, but it's something that's not, you can't instantly hear us and go, oh yeah, of course they're a, you know, deathcore band. They sound like the stuff that I'm used to.
Yeah.
So I think in the beginning that it's something that is makes your band grow a little slower because you can't just plug and play right into a genre. But I think in the long run, it's pretty cool because people come to respect what you do.
Yeah.
As an original band.
Totally. I don't know that I can name a band, and I'm not saying this as like a, like a, No one sounds like us, but I can't really name a band that we sound exactly like.
And I think the trick for us is getting the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Between we sound like a band that no one sounds like, and then we also sound like bands that you are familiar with.
Totally.
Because if you're too much no one sounds like them, then no one wants to listen to you.
Yeah.
And then if you're too much the other way, well, then you're just lost in a sea of other bands. So that is, I think, the most important thing about making a band is finding that sweet spot.
And
that's like there's an art there.
And finding what's unique about you as a songwriter. What are you bringing to the table that's different than what other people are bringing to the table? What's unique about what you do? And what's your voice? That's what makes music so cool to me, is the different ways that people interpret the music in their own voice and produce it in their own voice.
Yeah, of course. So I'd say metal. We're metal.
Metal. That was a long-winded way to say we're metal. But it's true.
All right, should we roll to another question?
Yeah,
we got a couple left.
Yeah. Next up is from Dan. How important is it for new bands to connect with their local scene, and how would you guys go about doing that?
Well, and what's funny is that Chaney and I are not from Nashville. We've only lived here for 2 years, but I feel like we're heavily ingrained in the local scene. And we didn't really have that as much when we were living in Santa Cruz. But I think that's just because there wasn't as many shows.
Definitely not. Yeah.
But yeah, the best way to do it is to just get out there and go to shows, support, right? I mean, like when Chaney and I go to shows, we're not really trying to like network or anything like that. We're just actually there to see the show and have fun and hang out with people. And I think when you do that, you just start to meet people. And when you meet people, then you inevitably meet other people who are like-minded and doing something that you're trying to do.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, yes, I do think that it's important to become a part of your local scene by going to shows, by meeting other musicians. It's cool to be surrounded by people who are, you know, looking to achieve the same things you are, who are driven by similar things to as you are. It's cool to meet other musicians. It's cool to see bands play. It's cool to learn about new bands. So Naveen and I try to go to as many shows as possible. That's what you can do. I mean, if you live in a small town, it might be better. There might be some kind of a metal scene there, but you might have to go to the city to see shows.
Right. And that's a lot harder to meet people because you're not really in your area, even if it's just like an hour away.
Yeah, that's true. But the internet is such a good way to kind of, you can even get involved in your local scene with the internet now. Like there's a page on Facebook called Nashville Hardcore. There's a Nashville metal page. When we moved here, I just kind of went around and looked for every venue that has metal shows. I still haven't found them all because there are big shows, there are small shows, and there are a million different venues in Nashville, not to speak of Tennessee. So just go look for venues, look for groups on the internet, and from there you can kind of find the shows that are going on. Go to the shows, try to meet people there. Yeah. Usually it's like, dude, metal shows are more packed than they were when I was a kid, but we're still few and far between us metal people.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things about Nashville for us has been like anywhere we go to hang out, people will kind of start to talk about metal with
We'll meet people anywhere we go.
Yeah.
Like at a bar, at a brewery, we met two metal. There was two people in there and they both listened to metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't think you need to. You obviously don't have to be a part of a local scene to be successful at all.
No.
But I think it does kind of just help when you know other people that are doing what you're doing. And it sort of just makes it like easier.
Totally.
You know what I mean? You can meet up and talk about what you're doing, and you know other people are kind of going through the same struggle as you're going through.
Absolutely.
It makes it more fulfilling in a way to be a part of like a personal community, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And I will tell you this, playing around the world, it's amazing. It's incredibly fulfilling, but there is nothing like a hometown show.
Yeah.
There is nothing. I mean, our Nashville hometown shows have felt like pure hometown shows to me. Like there's nothing like,
and we never had that. We always wanted it.
We never had it in California. There's just nothing like it's the home game. You know, you're there with your people, you're repping for this place. Like when we go elsewhere there, I feel like I'm repping for Des Moines and for Nashville and Santa Cruz a little bit, you know, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing like that feeling. And it's rare that I've felt as proud as I've felt when our band played a hype show in Des Moines or a hype show in Nashville.
Like, yeah, whenever we play Des Moines, it's really, really fun. And that's the benefit of having your local show.
Yeah.
You get to come through. If you're lucky enough to go on a tour, you get to come through your hometown and everyone will be proud of you. You'll be
like, dude.
Yeah, it's great.
Nothing feels better. Nothing feels really better. Good. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, become a part of the local scene. I mean,
you got nothing to lose.
Naveen and I were in our 30s. We grew up in the local scene.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's like a part of our.
Yeah. Now, if you asked me this question 20 years ago, it wouldn't even make any sense. It'd be like, well, yeah, of course. There's no other way to do it.
Yeah.
You have to be a part 100%. Of the local scene or you're not playing a show.
100%. Yeah. If you weren't a part of the local scene, then you were never going to be a part of the regional scene.
Yeah, you're nothing.
Or the national scene. That's for sure.
That was the only way to do it.
Yeah, dude. But, you know, I feel like this is just always kind of going to be in our hearts, like being a part of a local scene, because that's how we grew up. We grew up being a part of our scene, playing in bands that were in our respective scenes, and that's never going to leave me. So I will always be about repping the hometown.
Hell yeah. Agreed. All right. Is there any more?
Yeah, we got a couple more.
Okay.
Anna asks, I've noticed a lot of bands are doing more collaborations and having guest spots on their music. What's your opinion of bands doing this, and would you guys ever do one?
Guest spots. I feel like it's becoming more and more of a thing to sort of like cross promote, like on Spotify and stuff like that.
There's
you
a
know
secret.
What I mean?
Yeah. There's a secret. So you guys will see a song that shows up on two different Spotify pages. So you can increase both bands' monthly listeners. So it's a little, little sneaky secret.
Yeah, but not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're doing it just for that reason, because people have always done collaborations.
I'm sure they aren't.
But I feel like there's probably certain cases where people are thinking, if we get people to collaborate, we'll get more listeners.
I mean, absolutely.
That's definitely going to be a factor.
It's a good way to cross promote.
Yeah.
It's also just cool to involve your friends in your project.
Yeah.
I have no problem with collaboration. I think it's cool. And, you know, we've talked about a million different collaborations in our band. It just really has never actually come up, because when it comes down to it, it's like, oh, I want to
do it.
I want to do that part.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that we will have, I don't know if they even asked this, but I'm sure that we will have a collaboration maybe on the next thing we do. I always say that though.
Yeah. We say we're going to do it. We have maybe some people in mind.
Definitely.
But
I have two main people in mind, one singer and one screamer that I want.
Yeah. I mean, I think for us, it would be really cool to have people collaborate who you might not expect us to collaborate with.
Absolutely.
That would be really cool, because then you're sort of hearing that person in outside of their genre or outside of their comfort zone. And it's something that just wouldn't happen very often. So that interests me for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to have Marissa Nadler do a song with us. That's definitely... Yeah.
Who is a singer, kind of singer-songwriter, I guess you could...
Yeah.
Easy way to put it.
Totally.
So I think that would be really cool, because I don't know if she's ever played on a death metal song, but...
Yeah, right.
Like, it'd be just cool to hear that juxtapose.
I agree. Yeah, so collaboration's cool.
Yeah.
We approve.
I approve. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I totally approve. Approved. What's your favorite collaboration that you've ever heard of?
My favorite collaboration.
Yeah, let's do one off the top of our heads.
Let's think here.
Epic collaboration. You know, one I watched the other day that was pretty goddamn epic was David Bowie, Nine Inch Nails.
Okay. Yeah. That's
probably not my favorite of all time, but that's an epic one. All right, we approve of them, but Naveen can't think of one that he likes.
I mean, I think the Converge Chelsea Wolf one is really good.
Oh, yeah, of course. I didn't even think of Blood Moon.
I think I'm sure they'll come.
Emma Ruth Rundle, Chelsea Wolf, good one. King Dude, Chelsea Wolf, good one.
King Dude?
Chelsea Wolf, sing a theme.
Chelsea Wolf has a lot of good... Chelsea Wolf Russian Circles, also a really good collab. All right,
Chelsea Wolf Entheos coming up. Yeah, coming up soon.
Chelsea Wolf Entheos, maybe we'll do it.
I don't know. I haven't really just heard very many collaborations lately, to be honest.
I don't know if I have either.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right,
so
well, we'll
approve,
think on it and
I
get
don't
back
listen
to you. We
to
approve.
Any. Let's put it that way.
We approve. We're really tired, I gotta be honest. The spring forward has really messed with us.
It's killing us.
And then we did have a meeting at 10 this morning, but it's 9, essentially.
I had to get up at the crack of 8.
We had to get up at the crack of 8 to talk about art.
Yeah. Was there any more questions, or is that?
Yeah, we've got a couple more.
Okay.
Naveen, I love how you ask for. So, are there any more questions? Or
let's keep going. I want. There, any, I love
there were some in the
questions.
Chat.
This yeah, that's great. What I'm asking.
This
now.
Super fun.
All right.
Mongrel Sharp asks if there's ever going to be Time Will Take Us All tabs.
Yes.
There is a couple.
Do a spoiler right now. Do it. Breaking news.
Oh yeah.
Do it.
There's
breaking news. All right, so She Happens right now is working on Time Will Take Us All guitar tabs.
There you go. But in the meantime, there is two songs already tabbed.
Absolute Zero and In Purgatory are tabbed right now. She Happens will be out, I'm assuming, first half of the year. So yes.
So we'll have the tab book.
The answer is yes. We're going to have a whole goddamn book for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those She Happens guys do a bunch of crazy. See, this is why we outsourced. She Happens does a bunch of crazy stuff that I am not interested in spending my time doing. They're going through, they're tabbing everything out for us, which is insane, and Naveen doesn't want to do it.
Well, I sent them the tabs.
Well, I think most of most of it's tabbed. They're
most
going through and checking
tabbed.
It out and doing the solos, but they release it as like cool digital releases. Like they have they can offer a bunch of stuff that's just not in our wheelhouse. So we outsourced. Yeah. And that'll be coming soon. So there keep an eye out.
So yes.
All right.
Tabs coming at you.
Cursed Unholy asks, will Evan ever play with you guys live again? First time I saw you guys was with him and it was so sick.
I guess that's a question for Evan. We can't really answer that. But we will have a bass player eventually for sure.
All right, the next up is
not anytime soon. Evan's not playing.
Yeah, no, Evan is not playing with us anytime soon.
You never know what the future holds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For now, he's
never say never. He is our friend. He's a good friend of ours. He does live 5 minutes away from us.
So. True.
And he is on the EP.
Yes, he is on the EP.
I think this is Cotty Don't asks, will the earlier records get put out on vinyl eventually?
Hit that breaking news.
These seem like fake questions.
I know. They seem like fake questions. Next week, I will be getting the test pressing for The Infinite Nothing on vinyl. So the answer is yes. And we're going to put that out. We're just, I think we will definitely have it on the As I Lay Dying tour at the merch table. I think there are 5 different variants and maybe limited to 200 a piece. So you're going to have to grab it quickly because they will sell out immediately. To my mom.
I'm excited to see that. They look really cool.
Oh man, they're so cool. Right. And they match. If you guys don't, if you guys know the Infinite Nothing album cover, then we worked really hard with someone who is pressing them for us to, you know, have sick variants for you guys.
Yeah.
That they're going to look insane. Period. Sick. Point blank.
I guess we've been trying to get Dark Future repressed for a long time.
Yeah, so if you want to,
hard to.
Sorry to interrupt.
Do
you.
That.
If you want to see Dark Future repressed, then I would say try to harass Spine Farm because I've tried to do it myself. I don't harass them, but I tell them that people want the vinyl, and they will not repress it right now. So
we don't know why.
We have no idea why we've sold out of them. So let's talk to them about it. Time Will Take Us All is also getting a repress because we're out of the first pressing.
Yeah, we've sold a lot of those vinyls.
Yeah, so, and then we will have another vinyl coming at you later this year.
Yep, EP will be on vinyl.
Yes, it will, with a couple of cool extra tracks.
Hell yeah.
All right, last question is from BM Woody Woo. What's your craziest pit stories in the crowd and performing?
Oh, I got one right here, dude. This is an NK classic. I was my old band Animosity was on tour with Converge, and the bar there was the stage was here, and then the crowd here, and then the bar was like right, probably pretty close to the stage, so I could see the stage and I could see the pit.
Where was it at?
It was in France.
What was the venue?
I don't know.
Okay.
And we had drink tickets. which what you don't really get drink tickets in Europe very often. They just give you a bunch of drinks backstage. So I was at the bar watching Converge, and I was having a couple drinks, and I was like, man, this is so awesome. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go in the pit. And I like ran in the pit, and as soon as I got in there, boom, just smack right to the upper lip and just instant fat lip.
Damn.
Just ran out. Like, nope, not going to happen.
You went into the party like your name was El Nino, and then someone just smacked you in the face.
Exactly.
Do you get it?
Kind of.
That Sum 41 song is called Fat Lip.
Oh, holy
damn,
shit.
Damn, did it on you.
Holy shit.
I have a pit story. This isn't much of a story, but I was also inebriated. Seeing, I believe I had helped my friends. I was very young when this happened. Seeing Meshuggah, Cynic, and the Faceless. Epic fucking lineup. I ran into the pit during Meshuggah, and I just got laid to waste immediately because we had finished a bottle of Jaeger before that show.
So what happened? Did you get actually taken to the ground?
I got taken to the ground, and then I left the pit. But somewhere, God. There's a picture of me from that night with Michael Keen. And if you guys haven't been listening to the podcast for very long, you know, Keen, we went on to live with Keen. He's been our roommate. We know Keen. Now we kind of go way back. I've known him for like 12 years at this point. But this was before I ever had met you or Keen or anyone.
I've seen that picture. It's on Facebook or something, right?
It's not on Facebook. I don't know where it's at. Picture. I saw it one time, and I don't know where it is.
Mm.
But I'm sure that I don't want to share it with anyone because I was demolished.
That's hilarious.
I was 21 at the time.
So wait, that's the story that you always tell when you drank like a million shots of Jaeger? It was
there was a cloud of Jaeger surrounding that era of my life.
The one I'm thinking of is a show that you played at the Picador, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it is called the Picador. Or it was.
You said you played there and you were drunk or something. I don't know if it was that.
I used to play shows a little too drunk when I was young. And, you know, when you're 19 and you got,
that'd be something.
And you're in Iowa.
That'd be something to see. Well, I guess
not,
I did see
it. It's not ever going to happen again.
Yeah, it's true.
Cliff said everyone has that Jaeger cloud era. That's true.
I have one. And actually,
can I share something before I forget? My roommate at the time had one of those Jaeger machines that you just put a bottle in the top upside down and it pours out cold shots of Jaeger. So that's the type of like lifestyle I was living at that point.
Yeah.
You know? All right, go ahead.
It's not that funny. I just had like a little bottle of Jaeger one night at like a crazy show that it was in Arizona, and like Job for a Cowboy was there. I don't know if they played or if they were just there. But basically my band, I was in Animosity at the time. We all got really drunk. Not the singer, he didn't drink at the time. And him and the guitar player got into like a fight and like a bunch of crazy stuff happened. And then I got way too drunk off of this little bottle of Jaeger and threw up.
Jaeger always makes me throw up.
Yeah, I threw up, and we ate Mongolian barbecue earlier in the day.
Gross.
So, like, I couldn't eat Mongolian barbecue for so long because it just reminded me of that.
Oh, that's rough.
And now, like, Johnny still sends me texts, like, that little bottle of Jaeger. Or it'll just be a little bottle of Jaeger.
We don't really have any crazy drunk fight stories in our band.
Yeah, I know, because we're, like, older.
Let me think really hard.
No one got into a fight ever. We have funny drunk stories, but we're just...
My story is probably from that night when we were in Ohio.
Oh, man, that was sick.
We were on tour with Intronaut, and my cat had just died, so I think I was, like, drowning my sorrows with alcohol.
What I was thinking of.
Oh, God, what were you thinking
of? I think I was thinking of Indiana. Summer Slaughter. That smaller day.
That wasn't good.
And it was dollar margaritas.
That wasn't good.
$1.
But here's the thing, we play. Okay, let me finish my story really quick and then we'll tell that one. So we were playing that place in Ohio that does the burgers that are like named after each band. And then you get one for free.
Yeah.
And I got so wasted that I did not have my burger. Someone else ate it.
Me and Evan ate it. It was you and really, Evan really ate bomb. It.
And I was like,
it was like a black bean burger. Yeah. It was hella good.
There are a bunch of pictures of like me and Travis and Jordan from the Contortionist from that night. Yeah. I don't know why he was there, and Billy O. But, you know, we got in the van to leave, and Naveen had to get a trash can for me to puke in while we were driving away. And Evan was like, "You are so lucky that you're in a band with your boyfriend."
Yeah, I know.
Because dude, no one else would do this shit for you.
I'm on official puke patrol.
Yeah.
Like, if Chaney's really drunk, I'm like,
which
right.
It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, we're acting like I'm wasted.
Over the course of us being together for 13 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course.
I'm like, all right, I know what's going on here.
Me
and I'll
too.
Just have something and she'll puke and I'll just be like, boom.
It happens for me too with you. Like, I can fully recognize if you're not like
feeling good. Yeah. Puke patrol.
If you're not feeling good. And I know because you do a thing where you just like disappear and you don't really tell anyone what you're doing, but you'll be in the bathroom for like a half an hour.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
good.
Naveen has left too. It's like when a poor little puppy knows he's going to pass away and he goes off on his own.
I will say that I'm a very responsible puker.
You
if
are.
I get too drunk and you need are. To puke, I'm always like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take care of this real quick.
This was a thing.
I'm not throwing up. All
I'm not going to say when this happened, but it happened, you know.
A couple weeks ago.
We were in the back of an Uber and we were coming home
from our
friend Crystal's birthday. And Naveen, I was like sober basically. And I could tell that Naveen was just spent. So he went to our friend's house and I like followed him to our friend's house in a different Uber because
for
I knew we'd spend the night there.
Yeah, my friend who lives down the street from our friend who was having the birthday party just up and got up and was like, "We're going to my house." And I was like, "Yeah."
And
everyone was like, "Why are you guys leaving?"
I know. Emma and I, our friend Emma and I were like, "What is he? All right. They're taking the party
we're like,
elsewhere.
We're just going. Right. Let's go." Yeah. You know? And then.
So you were gone for like an hour and then Ben and I got an Uber, Ben Tolls.
Yeah.
And I got an Uber and followed you. And when I got there, I was like, Naveen's in a bad place. So we got an Uber home.
But when I opened the door to that Uber, dude, the air freshener, I was like, I don't know. When I first opened it, I'm thinking like, I don't think I can get in here.
It was bad.
Like, this is enough to make me want to throw up without being drunk.
You guys, if you drive an Uber, please, for the love of God, do not have a crazy air freshener
in there.
I mean,
it was fucking crazy.
And the man was not letting us roll down windows. You were back there. I could hear you from the other side. You were like this.
Yeah, I know. Just because I wanted the fresh air, man.
But anyways, so Naveen had to vom, and he just went like this.
Yeah, that's my move. Yep.
Into his clothes.
Oh, God.
But
at that,
point,
there
it's
was really mind. Not much like left.
Yeah.
You know, I'd already puked at the party, so that was just like a little something. It's disgusting.
Funny story. But just to make it clear, this is not us.
It's not a regular occurrence.
It's not a regular occurrence. Yeah. It happens just, every so often.
If you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
You're going to get burned.
That's my thing. If I'm like drinking on the regular, even if I'm just keeping it reasonable, every once in a while I'm gonna get got.
Same. And I get really bad motion sickness.
Yeah.
So if I'm in the back of a crazy Tesla Uber on the way to Ben's house and then I decide to go home,
yeah,
then I'm probably gonna get the spins and start puking whether or not I'm
but
intoxicated
from that,
or not.
Dollar margarita night, there is one of the funniest pictures ever, and it's
dollar margaritas. Yeah,
we
let's
have
go
a
back
bunk
to that.
In our van, and there's the windows in the back, right? Mm-hmm. And Travis was driving after we went and had that night.
Yeah. Well, the next morning, because we were all way too intoxicated to drive.
Yeah, and there's
in a, parking
a
lot.
Picture of me in the back window, like holding my head, and I'm like passed out. And Travis took a picture of it, and it's so funny, dude.
It's one of my tour favorites.
Yeah, it's such a great picture.
I mean, dude, okay.
He took the two best pictures of tour, that one and then the one of us in Porto.
True.
Travis,
we were playing that show in Indiana. We were playing like a little strip mall type. It's not a strip mall, but it's like a strip where a bunch of businesses are. There was a Mexican restaurant right next to the venue. On Summer Slaughter, we were playing every day at like 3:30.
Yeah.
There was never anyone there when we... Well, there were some people there sometimes, but a lot of days there weren't really people there when we played. So we went over to the Mexican restaurant before the show with Summoning the Lich. They
that's
were
right.
there. That's when we met them. Mm-hmm. And we got...
They opened the show.
Oh, yeah. And we got dollar margaritas, like, at noon. Yeah. And we're like, you know what? Let's just go in on these margaritas. We play it, like, yeah, two.
We went out after that, and everywhere we went, it was like, pitchers are $5. It was insane. I was like, what is this?
So we just went in that day and partied a little bit.
It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a great time.
No regrets. Shit was sick.
So apparently this is the times we got drunk episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, no more questions. Leave it there. That's it.
That's it.
All right, well, I think we're going to call it for this week, you guys. As usual, thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you have not tuned in to our Twitch streams, we are live every Monday now, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then, of course,
hype.
The brand new hype Copper Crab Happy Hour.
It's a party
Thursdays.
Over there. I'm telling you guys, it's a good time.
I know it's going to get a little Indiana in there.
Yeah. So if you guys want to have a good time with us on Thursday, we'll see you over there. And if not, thanks for tuning in as always. And we will check you guys out next week.
All right. Love you guys so much. Have a good one. Thanks for hanging. We'll see you on New Metal Night.